Tonight's reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, we are in our third week of this series of Christmas songs. We've heard from Mary and we've heard from Zechariah. And tonight is the night of John the Baptist. And so, tonight I want us to delve into his character. We're going to look at some of the different facets of his character that make John, John. But I also want us to take a look at ourselves to see the characteristics of John in us and to see how we can be more like John and like Christ. So John, here is a man that was born out of a miracle. Maybe not as miraculous as, say, Jesus' birth, but I would say a miracle all the same. If we look back at the beginning of Luke, we can read of the encounter of Elizabeth and Zechariah, John's mum and dad. Now, to the human eye, it didn't seem very hopeful for this couple. Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have any children. And the pair of them, and I quote, were well on in years. They weren't spring chickens. They weren't this new couple just off their honeymoon, the newlyweds. They were a couple that had thought having children was out the window. This is a woman whose body clock had gone silent because she was so old. But this was a couple who fervently prayed for children. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah to tell him of the birth of their son John, he said to him, "Your prayers have been answered." And through their heartache, through their disappointment, they were continually faithful to the Lord's commands. The word says that they were upright in the Lord's sight. I love that. Upright in the Lord's sight. And so John, he was born to these wonderful people, this beautiful couple who knew that their little boy was going to do great things for the Lord, who knew he was going to bring people back to the Lord, and who was going to make people ready, prepared for the Lord. But like Jesus, we don't really hear much of John in his childhood, and the next time we see or hear from him is in this passage that we read tonight. So we read that he has been in the desert before he begins his amazing journey around Jordan. But where has he been? What has he been up to in all these years? A number of scholars would suggest that John may have been associated with a Jewish sect called the Essenes, possibly, that lived in the desert near Qumran. And whenever I say the name Qumran, I think it's Qumran. It's not. It's not the same place. They were from Qumran. It might be the way I'm pronouncing it, maybe. But there's some interesting similarities between John's way of life and his teachings and those of a group like the Essenes. They lived an ascetic life. They bathed themselves regularly as a religious ritual, and they prepared themselves for the coming salvation of God. They would have used the passage of Isaiah 40 that we read in our passage tonight as a reason of leading a separated life in the desert. They believed they were preparing the way of the Lord and would constantly be reading and soaking themselves in the books of the law in order to do it. I grew up in an Anglican church just down the road in Selly called St. John the Baptist. And over the years, I recall many an anniversary for John, many a Sunday service of dedication for John, and many Sunday school lessons where we learnt about John, his life, and everything that was to do with him. And over the years, I came up with this image of what John would look like. So here's this man with his long, wiry, unkempt hair, his big, bushy beard with honey dripping through it, with locusts sticking out of his teeth as he's just been munching on one, and this big camel coat stuck on his back with this belt wrapped around him, and these toenails, those long curly ones that protrude at the end of his dirty, dusty feet. Please don't ask me where the toenails have come from. I don't know. They're just in my image as John. But I did realise that actually my image of John has actually become a cross between Shrek, the Gruffalo, and Hagrid from Harry Potter. It's quite a weird image you've got in my mind. But you will be happy to know that actually I've learned more about John than just this image that is conjured up in my mind. I've realised that actually John was a man full of character, full of God's character. One of the first things we read and we see was that John was devoted. We read in the passage that it says, "The word of God came to John." He knew God's voice. He'd spent hours and days and years of his life learning more about God and his character. He's learned the value of knowing the scriptures. So much so that when God spoke, he knew who it was. There's a story that Simon Ponsonby shared at a worship conference last year. I'm sorry if some of you have heard it already. But Simon had been given a CD from a church that he'd visited and was listening to it in his car. It was a good album, but there were two songs that really touched his heart. when he heard, listened to the songs, he could hear God's voice in the lyrics. And he heard God's heart in the music. And a few months down the road, he was at a youth conference. And he noticed that the majority of the youth there didn't seem to have their Bibles with them. You'd see them coming in over the weekend to seminars and worship sessions, and their Bibles were nowhere to be seen. And it really disturbed him that these young people, who would inevitably be the visionaries, the evangelists, the worship leaders, the pastors, the preachers of future churches, didn't appear to be devoted to God's word. He didn't see a hunger for the word in them. So he went off in the afternoon just to spend some time with God before he came to speak in the evening. And he came across this girl who was sat on a bench with her Bible on her lap open. And this Bible looked used. The pages and the binding were strapped together with tape because all the pages were falling out. There were notes on the margins of every page where she just seemed to be scribbling about the word. The Bible looked loved. He began chatting to her, and it turns out that this girl was the girl that had written the two songs on this album that he'd been listening to. Out of this devotion for God's word came these songs and the melodies that spoke of God's heart. Through this girl's devotion, she had heard God's voice and acted on it by writing worship songs. And we see tonight in the passage, John, through his devotion, heard God's voice and acted on it by going out to the people. John was also obedient. When he heard the word from God, he left the group of people that he lived with and went to preach. Many times we sing songs that say, well, we'll go to the ends of the earth for you, God. Or we sing that we won't hold anything back. Or that we give our all to you. But so often we find ourselves actually not being that obedient to the calling that God has placed on our lives. It might be a calling to go to a completely different country, to go minister to orphans or street kids, or it might just be going to work and preaching the gospel to the fellow next to you. We have all got a calling that we need to be obedient to. We need to learn to say yes to God. And we need to start by being obedient in the small things. John shows us this by being obedient and faithful in spending his life in the Word. Because then God knew he could trust him in the bigger things. One thing I love about the character of John is that he knew who he was. I love the humility that we can see in this passage. John says that one more powerful than I will come. One more powerful than I will come. He knows he's not the main event. He knows that. He knows that he's preparing the way for Jesus, for something greater than what he is. And I don't know about you, but I find it so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that it's all about me, forgetting that we are meant to be preparing people to meet with God, to be able to step aside and just show them to God. When I first felt a calling to lead worship, Sarah asked me if I would lead some worship at a youth event that she was holding here in Tubbs one night. And in my arrogance, I thought I'd made it. I really had. Here I was. She was asking me to lead the worship. It was going to be amazing. It really was. The worship was going to sound awesome. There were going to be people prostrated on the floor in worship and adoration. It was going to be absolutely fantastic. But all because of me. God wasn't going to have anything to do with it. It was going to be because of me. So I got my band together, and in my naivety, didn't actually realize you needed to practice. So we came together thinking that we just come, you know, start playing, the Spirit would fall, and it would just happen. I also decided that I was going to introduce a new song, The Splendor of a King, one that we all know, but at the time we didn't. And so I was there, ready. I gave the nod to Jeremy on the piano. He starts playing. Tom on the guitar starts strumming. Andrew on the drums. And I'm there thinking, this song's too fast. It's going too fast. Oh my gosh, it's just going too fast. All the time, obviously, standing in the holy, you know, stand that you have to have. So I think, okay, I need to go for it. Step up to the mic and start singing. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. This really is too fast. This really is too fast. Oh my gosh, what is going on? Oh my life. So I turned to Andrew, hoping that the pain in my face was going to hope to suggest that we need to really slow this down. It didn't. So we're continuing to go at top speed. We carry on into the chorus. At this point, we are now sounding like chipmunks because it is so fast. And all I can see, I look out at these young people who have come to worship God, and I can just see them looking at me going, what is she doing? Oh, except for Sarah, bless her. She is possibly the most encouraging worshipper to have in the congregation because she was there. She was going for it. I could recount so many stories where God has gently, or not so gently sometimes, reminded me that it isn't about me. It's about him. He didn't want people to be worshipping me that night. He wanted people to be worshipping him. For him to be their focus. And John knew this. He was humble enough to realize that the best was yet to come. John also had purpose. From the time he was conceived to the time he was beheaded, he knew what he had to do. His calling was to prepare the way for Jesus. For John, that took the form of preaching. For me, it's pastorally assisting. For Richard, it's teaching music. For Peter, it's leading the maintenance team. For Jane, it's teaching and caring for nursery children. We all, in our own ways, have a purpose. Our purpose may change over the years, depending on our situation, but we will always have a purpose. Some athletes have a purpose this coming year, the Olympics. Just in case you didn't realize that was happening. Now, these guys and girls will train as hard as they can. They will eat the right things. They will practice day in, day out, and focus solely on those 2 weeks that are approaching in July. And we can learn from them. And we can learn from John that we are called for a purpose, and we need to invest our time and our energy into that purpose which God has given us. I could carry on most of the night probably listing characteristics that John had: faithfulness, courage, patience, so many characteristics. But the one thing that it seems to always come back to when I've been reading this passage, it's stricken me every time, was that these characteristics made John attractive to the people he met. People trusted him, and they listened to him. They saw God in him through his character, and they were drawn to him. If we read in verse 15, it says, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. The man they saw before them made them wonder if he was Jesus because of his character. don't know about you, but I think that is the best compliment anyone could give a Christian, that we look, or they think that we are like Jesus. How amazing would it be if the people in Penarth waited expectantly and all wondered in their hearts if Tasha, or if Mark, or if Naomi might possibly be the Christ because of what they saw in us. If this John fella, with his big bushy beard and his honey and his locust and his wiry hair and his big long toenails and his camel coat with his leather belt, if this man, through all that, can be attractive enough to bring people to hear the words that God has to say to them, then I reckon that we might have a shot of doing this. John pointed the way towards Jesus all the time he was ministering. John was called to prepare the way for Jesus. Even though, as a mere man, he was inevitably flawed. But we see godly characteristics in John, and we can see them in ourselves. And that points people to Jesus. We too are called to prepare people's hearts and to point them to Jesus. And tonight I just want to encourage us to seek those godly characteristics so that we too, like John, would be attractive and draw people to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we long to be like you. Lord, we long for people to know that we are your children. And so, Lord, we ask that tonight you will help us become the people that you have called us to be, that we will strive to be more like you, to have the characteristics that you have. Help us lead lives that prepare the way for you, for people to meet you in their lives. Lord, help us. Give us the strength that we need to be your people. Amen. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Lord, I pray that tonight people would see you in us this week. Lord, strengthen us. Send us out in your power and your spirit to do your works this week. Amen. Let's join together and say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.